As someone living with lung cancer, speaking up and being proactive during this cancer journey is absolutely critical.
Self-advocating can play a big role when dealing with lung cancer, but it doesn't need to be daunting. Try preparing questions you want to ask your doctor at your next appointment, confirming when you are unsure or have concerns, and asking about biomarker testing, which may help your doctor select an appropriate treatment.
I hope anyone who's diagnosed with lung cancer, whatever the stage, is willing to speak up, ask questions, assemble a support team, and fight.
Visit bit.ly/soundup for lung cancer for links to resources and to learn about SoundUp, a patient-inspired, community-led campaign supported by Novartis to empower people affected by lung cancer.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
All right. And we're back. Javier Haas, still my international man of mystery, still traveling the world. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. What about you, Mr. Patrick Lane? Are you back home in Detroit?
I am home for now. For now, I'm gearing up for our New York conference next week. I'm really, really excited. But for now, I am boring. I'm home. I'm in Michigan. I'm not, you know, jet setting around like you are, my friend.
You know what is not boring? The special edition of Benzinga's Cannabis Hour, or should I say Psychedelics Hour today.
Tell us more, Javi.
So today we are chatting with Dr. Joseph Tucker. He's the CEO of Emberic Biosciences. It's a NASDAQ-traded psychedelic company. Yes, you heard right. NASDAQ-traded psychedelics company.
Oh, I love those words.
Ticker ENVB. So ENV as in short V and B as in long B or big B. How do you call that?
I don't know. Short V and big B. That's the first time I've heard those, but that's fine. I like that. Why don't we cut right into it? Let's bring Dr. Tucker on. We've got a lot of news, a lot of things happening. Welcome, Dr. Tucker. You guys, last time we had Joe on here, we had a different company next to his name on here. Joe, you were the CEO of Magic Med, which was acquired by Enveric Biosciences. Tell us more. To give us a little update here.
Yeah, you're right. It's only been a little while since it all closed, but it's been such a whirlwind for me. It feels like that was, you know, so 2020. Right. But yeah, no, super exciting. You're right. Magic Med was the private company that we started, and we were at the time aiming to list on the CSE, and along came Enveric Biosciences. And, you know, and I'll be honest, they weren't the only folks that were sniffing around, but they really seemed to be the right fit for us. So we were really excited to accept their merger offer. And here we are, you know, a few months later, everything is put together. And the CEO of Enveric, the then CEO, has gone to become the executive chairman, Dave Johnson. Such a great guy. Love working with him. Really, real professional with a ton of history in the pharma world. But now I'm the CEO of Enveric Bioscience. How exciting.
Very cool. How does it feel to be the CEO of a NASDAQ-traded psychedelics company? I mean, other than quite surreal, right?
Right. Well, you know, gosh, it's great to, you know, it reminds me of something I heard once. It was one of those kind of Tony Robbins type statements. You want to step up to the plate, right? You need to surround yourself with peers that are really amazing peers. You know, it's one of those comments, you don't go and play tennis with somebody who's in kindergarten, you go play with a pro, and now you've got to step up your game. And that's exactly what it's like, right? It's, what are there, five NASDAQ and one New York Stock Exchange, I think, listed companies in the psychedelic space, you know, and every one of these companies, honestly, they're stars, right? So it's a real honor But yeah, it makes sure I keep my socks pulled up at all times, hanging with this crowd.
Well, yeah. Before we move forward, can you tell us a little bit about what you do, right? Because again, everything about this seems new, novel, strange, unexpected, right? So what is it you do, and how is this mainstream medicine?
Yeah. So when you say, what is it you do? I assume you don't mean how many Zoom calls do you take a day?
No. Beric. I mean, right. Beric and Magic Med is a combined company.
Right. So the combined company, you know, it's really cool. So as we just said, one of only, you know, five or six listed on NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange. But I'm not sure if there's any that actually have active cannabinoid as a drug and psychedelic drug programs. I think we might be the only ones. And that was, you know, Enveric's history was in working on some cannabinoid programs that they were going to take into clinical trials. And those are still here, still in-house. And of course, the Magic Med psychedelic side of it now front and center, honestly, here at Enveric Biosciences. So why don't I, rather than talk about the cannabinoid, I think you're interested to hear about the psychedelic side. So let me talk to that. You know, our premise here is that the real big opportunity in the psychedelic space is going to be on next generation molecules. You know, there's a ton of enthusiasm and for good reason on the classics, on developing psilocybin and MDMA. You know, they seem to be demonstrating a lot of very exciting activity in clinical trials. But, you know, the big opportunity is when you ask yourself, can we modify these? Can we make these better? Can we get to more patients? And the way you do that is to do, honestly, what the pharmaceutical industry has done since day one. For hundreds of years, what the pharmaceutical industry has done has started with these natural molecules and said, and that's what these are, right? Yep. And can I modify these? Can I make them better? Can I make them work better, have less side effects, and get to far more patients? That's where psychedelics is going, in my opinion. And that's really next generation molecules. So that's what we're doing is, you know, we love what's going on in psilocybin and MDMA, et cetera. But our approach is, let's make new ones. Let's make a really large number of modified, let's say, psilocybin or MDMA type molecules. Let's find the ones that have the very best efficacy and the least toxicity. And let's take those forward clinically. Ultimately, huge, huge market opportunity, huge opportunity to treat patients, I think.
So, Joe, when it comes to building out that program, I know you have your Cybrary, right? Which I love saying that word out loud, by the way. Tell us how artificial intelligence comes into play here. How are you using it? And I know that we've got some points that we want to discuss here specifically about AI, but give us a little sample here.
Man, it's crazy. Just like mixing all these words.
I know. AI, psychedelic, this is so cool.
I love it.
This is, you know, honestly, I think this is where they all cross over, right? You bring it all together. That's how you have your big success. So yeah, so the Cybrary, thanks for that, is, I came up with that term, by the way. So I love that you, you like the name.
You did it for me, didn't you, man? Thank you.
So the Cybrary, yeah, it is this big collection of these molecules, you know, hundreds that we've made and millions that we could make, right, with this technology, which, by the way, to throw one more sort of cool tech buzzword, we make with synthetic biology. So you've got, you know, synthetic biology. I know, right? Synthetic biology and artificial, like you name it, psychedelics. And it's actually legit, right? We're not just throwing these buzzwords out there. We're doing it. So the Cybrary is this massive portfolio and it's too big. Right. It's honestly too big for us to manually, old school, take every single molecule, do bench testing, do animal testing, do all of that stuff. It's too big. It'll take us, you know, the rest of our lifetime to work our way through it. So that's why we use artificial intelligence. And like the Cybrary, we've coined a term, Psy AI, really clever. So we use our own artificial intelligence and to screen through this. And in fact, we did have a press release just a couple of days ago was it yesterday? The world flies right. So quickly for me now. Feels like it was a week ago, but I think it was yesterday. So where we took our, you know, our first, and the way I look at it, I call it our first turn of the crank, because we are going to turn the crank a bunch more times. But our first turn of the crank, take our first 500 molecules and run it through our artificial intelligence, you know, and ask the question, which of these molecules are orally available? Which of these molecules cross the blood-brain barrier? Which of them bind the 5-HT2A receptor, which of course is the psychedelic target receptor? Which of them are not toxic? And another really interesting question, which of these are prodrugs as opposed to straight up new chemical entities? Because, you know, that gets you into different classes. And we had a really, really exciting result, which is why we press released it, that, you know, first thing we saw was the Cybrary strongly matches the positive control that we used. So the positive control we used was more than 1,000 approved orally available CNS drugs. We mm-hmm. said, that's what good looks like. And then we also had hundreds of molecules that had failed clinical trials. And we said, that's what bad looks like. And we used those two as, you know, to train the AI. And then we went and looked through the Cybrary. And so first off, we were super excited that just taking all 500 without even parsing it out, they looked very much like what good looks like. They looked very much like the approved drugs, not the failed drugs. But then we were able to go stratify, right? That's what's so great about this sort of complex scoring system. You go stratify and say, gosh, the top third, every one of the top third looks like a superstar drug. Isn't that cool? And then you can dive in a little bit more and say, you know, which of these have the strongest IP, or which of these is there mm-hmm. still white space in the IP landscape? And then we can turn around and say, let's make more of those. Let's test some more of those. And so, like, getting us to the next turn of the crank, the next turn of the crank. So it's super exciting, you know, leading us down. The way I think about it, the way I described it internally to the team is, you know, we're in a gold mine. We're digging away, and we found like two or three veins of gold, right? Loads to follow. And it's super exciting now to be able to really focus our efforts on these things that we have really high confidence are going to give us great drugs to take forward.
I have several follow-up questions here. So I'll be brief. The first one is, can you tell us a little bit about what you've identified so far?
Sure. Yeah. So far what we have identified, one of the things that's really interesting is you can separate the molecules into clusters. They group into clusters based on actually a large number of variables. But if you had to describe it generically, you'd say structural motifs, structural similarities, they cluster. And when you take those clusters, some other interesting things correlate with them. There's two clusters that you run metabolic analysis and you say, oh, these are going to consistently give rise to interesting prodrugs. If I want to make a prodrug, let's say to psilocin, this is where I want to go, right?
And I'm sorry, Joe, one second. Just define prodrug for our audience who may not know. That's right.
I forget sometimes about this little doctor over here. And I'm like, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right?
All good.
So a prodrug, basically, when you take a molecule, you ingest some drug. And it goes into your body. And then it actually dissociates, breaks apart into two pieces. One piece is the active ingredient. Mm-hmm. And the other one is not. It was maybe kind of a carrier to get you there. And so a great example is psilocybin. Right? The active ingredient in magic mushrooms. Psilocybin is itself a prodrug. Once you ingest it, this phosphate group falls off, and what you have left is called psilocin. That's the actual active ingredient. Mm-hmm. So
got
from
it.
A drug point of view, prodrugs, and I thank you for making me define it, because I was just going to run off and talk about it, but prodrugs can give rise to excellent drug candidates. So they're very interesting to be able to say, oh, this is what we need to make a lot of interesting prodrugs and rapidly test them to find the best prodrug. And we also had several other clusters. I'm doing this because I can actually see in my mind this 2D graph that we built that has 1,000 variables, but we put on a 2D graph. But there's 3 or 4 clusters of structural motifs, and you say, oh, those aren't that exciting. That's where a lot of your failures come in. Good to know. Let's not make those anymore. And over here was this cluster that just knocked it out of the park. And so it's like, that's where we're going to go. So those kinds of things were like hugely valuable. And, you know, right now we have interesting molecules. We have molecules that we could take forward. What we want to do is winnow them down. We want to do a little bit more work to really prioritize so that everything we take forward into the next stage, which is preclinical studies, we have really high confidence is going to be successful molecules. So I guess that probably takes you to your next question, what's next, which is that's what's next. Do that work and then get into preclinical studies.
And, you know, following up on the AI platform, do you know of other psychedelics companies using similar platforms? Is this an industry standard? Is this a biotech industry standard, or like how innovative it is? And I have a follow-up to this follow-up too.
Okay.
Look at this guy with his follow-ups, Joe.
So, yeah, and within the first follow-up, there were like 3 questions. So, you know, is AI being talked about in the industry? Sure. Yeah, lots of people are talking about it. But they're talking about it in a lot of different contexts. You know, AI as a tool on your app that's going to feed back to the company whether or not you had a good experience with that concoction of, you know, mixed quasi-pharmaceuticals. Or, you know, lots of different things. Is AI being used in the pharma industry in this context? Sort of. So there's the idea of screening, you know, pre-screening. So when they pre-screen something in computers, they call it in silico. It's so clever. Like in a silicon chip, you pre-screen in silico. So that is happening in the pharmaceutical industry. People are starting to do it, but you're looking for something very specific if you're looking for a psychedelic drug. So to our knowledge, nobody has done this before. Said, let's take the pharma model. Let's use variables that are very specific for psychedelic drugs, mental health, and let's apply it to a portfolio like the Cybrary. As far as we know, we're the first ones to do something like that.
The reason why I ask this, right, is I know you're in the business of making medicines, but isn't the Cybrary like a product by itself, in and of itself, right? Isn't this something that you could license to other pharma companies, to other psychedelics pharma companies? Are you interested in this, right? And like as an investor, right, I'm thinking there are certain assets that sometimes companies do not think of monetizing just because they're not inherent to their business model as is, right?
Yep. Excuse me. So absolutely it is. Yeah, absolutely. The Cybrary, and not just the Cybrary, but you know, the ability to use the PsyAI and to give you a lot greater confidence that what you'd be licensing out of there would be, you know, a good drug candidate, a lower likelihood of failure, and even potentially targeted for the indication you're of interest. You know, that's very interesting to other companies. You know, and I won't lie, from day one that we were, you know, a company that people knew about, back when we were little private Magic Med, we've had a lot of inbounds from other companies in the space saying, what do you got? You have anything that you can license our way? And, you know, the Magic Med original business model was, was let's do that. Let's license to anybody and everybody and essentially partner out the entire development. Now that we have this platform, or the foundation of this NASDAQ listing, substantial capital in hand and substantial access to capital, and we're building a very strong clinical development team on top of what Enveric already had. Now, we want to develop some of them ourselves. And so we're definitely picking our spots. We have a couple of indications that to us make a ton of sense to focus on. And those are cancer-related distress and PTSD. Those are the ones that we're going to do that one. But outside of that, there's a lot of greenfield, right? There's a lot of opportunity here for development, and we don't have the bandwidth. So we're absolutely interested, and we are having conversations. I don't want to say anything more than that, but
sure,
there are companies that we're talking to that are interested in those other areas that are outside of our focus, but very much in their focus.
Very cool. Well, Javi, if you don't mind, I'll jump in for 1 second. And I think, Joe, when it comes to what we can say, right, obviously that's very exciting. There's some interesting opportunities, it seems, that are on the horizons in terms of partnership for you guys, but also just development in-house. Last question for you guys, timing. What can we and those shareholders or investors watching, what can they expect in terms of timing? Obviously, the AI tool is going to help you with speed to market, speed to the clinical trial phase. Give us a sense of what we should be looking at in terms of timing.
Sure. Yeah. So we're looking right now, our first milestone, which was this press release that we just announced, was really demonstrating proof of concept on both the Cyber and the Sci-AI. So, that was our first one. We were targeting that for Q4, and I think we got it, in the first few days of Q4. Next up for us is to take some of these great molecules we've identified and move them into preclinical studies, actually start down that path. And we're looking at that to be Q1 of 2022, or possibly even earlier, that we would announce, hey, let's start looking at some of these, let's move them into animal models because they're that encouraging. And then after that, we're looking at really getting into filing the IND and moving down the clinical path. So that is, we're looking at that a little bit later in 2022, but we still do expect to get there with our first molecules in 2022, maybe mid or Q3 2022, something like that. Q2, Q3, have some announcements of filing the IND and moving forward towards a clinical. So that's what we're, there's our targets right there. Some pretty aggressive movement, but I think it'll be transformative for us, right? Up to this point, people say, Sci-AI, it sounds pretty amazing. What have you got? So I think once we get to the point of saying, here's what we've got, I think people will really recognize, wow, it really works. There's a lot of potential there.
Super interesting. Dr. Joseph Tucker is the CEO of Enveric Biosciences, NASDAQ-traded psychedelics company, ticker ENVV. Without this being a recommendation, very attractive entry point right now. Go check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Dr. Tucker, thank you so much for joining us at Benzinga Cannabis Hour.
Javier and Patrick, so great to be here. Great to see you guys again.
Thank you, Joe. Take care, man.
Take care.
Awesome. Did everybody feel good about that one? Anything that we wanted to re-record or anything?
I was good. Sorry, I coughed a few times, but...
How dare you, Joe? No, honestly, I thought that went really well. I hope we covered the points we needed to cover for you, Joe. But I think, Javi, good questions. I think we've got some good...
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Mama is treating me to breakfast.
Yep, let me see your phone.
Huh? Look here. I download this McDonald's app because when you buy any bagel sandwich like the steak, egg, and cheese bagel, you get one free.
Wait, you just bought that on my phone.
That's right. Now that you got McDonald's money, you could treat mama.
Okay, Ma, you got it.
Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Valid through 10-2-22 at participating McDonald's. Valid one time per day. App download and registration required.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.